listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/lafevercfc. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Because of Jesus, whether they're praising Jesus as the Son of God, whether they've got that revelation, or whether they're just praising God because what God is doing through Jesus, but they really see the hand and the work of God happening through this man Jesus, and they're singing praises and they're exalting Jesus, they're lifting him up. It's good for us to lift up the name of Jesus. And then we see the response of the Pharisees in verse 15. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Then Jesus goes on and explains. So people are seeing the wonder, even the teachers of the law and those who were against Jesus could acknowledge that what he did was wonderful. You know, what Jesus does is wonderful. What God has done for you and me is truly wonderful. I trust that you experience that and you know that wonder. And there are times in life when we can sort of say, this is all a bit too tough, Lord. And I think many of the other scriptures, the Psalms, bring that out. This is hard. I'm oppressed. Things are difficult. My enemies from out and my enemies within have got control of me and everything's a mess. But everything Jesus does is wonderful. And they're praising him, and it makes these guys indignant, which is exactly what that verse in Psalm said happened. That the children praised and they lifted up, and then the enemies were silenced. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, zipped their mouth. Wouldn't it be great that when all those adversities, those things around us are going on, and we just praise God and we sense his presence, we lift him up and we're drawn into wonder of him, that would be cause those things that are our enemies around us to be silent, and their accusations against us, their resistance towards us, whether they're internal doubts and fears or agonies that we go through, that those things would be silenced and put aside when we know and bring praise and look at the wonder of who Jesus is and what he's done for each one of us. Verse 16 goes on, and says, do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him, Jesus replied, have you not read from the lips of children and infants, Lord, have called forth your praises? So he's quoting that psalm. He's saying, well, these praises of him, these children are doing it. If you guys aren't going to do it, the little kids will do it because they've got it. We're told to have faith like children because they see and don't doubt, and they believed. They just saw it and praised God because of the amazing things. The Pharisees got into politics and rationale and control and power, and it stopped them from acknowledging Jesus for who he truly was. As we go through Psalms 8, then it goes on. The next verses start to talk about the moons and the stars and reflecting God's wonder and greatness. And I'm really looking forward to our trip to Alice Springs in April with some of the youth from here and a few other church members that are coming with me. And we're going to get up into the deserts. But one thing I remember about the deserts, because I grew up in Central Australia, is sleeping out in a swag at night with a fire next to you, looking up out of that swag and just seeing stars, the abundance of stars, and just going, wow, that is amazing. That God's creation sings of his wonder, shouts out his praise to us. But I think we need to take time to stop and, I don't know, smell the roses, is that what they say? To take time and stop and actually look at the beauty that is around us, the creation that is there. Sandra and I, since we've been in Adelaide, have loved going down to Semaphore and watching the sunsets. In Cairns, we didn't get the sunset over the ocean. We got the sunrise sometimes, but we were behind a hill and the water was a bit further away, so we'd get the sun over the hill. But then it's sort of 8 o'clock already by the time, 9 o'clock before it's getting up. But here, we've just been loving getting down to the beach and watching the sun go down and the beautiful colours and thinking, God, your creation is amazing. It does make me want to worship you. It does want to focus my attention on you. This psalm then goes on in there, that verse 4. It says, well, what is man that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. that you've made them a little lower and you've given them a place of honor. And the passage goes on and basically saying, giving us a high view and an amazing view of humanity, of what God in us said, I've put humanity at the top, that they're meant to be over all the animals and all the other things. I've given them the earth and the planet as a place for them to be good stewards of. I've entrusted it to them. It's in their hands. If you go back to Genesis, it talks about dominion and ruling and reigning over the animals and the earth. But we have a responsibility to be good stewards of this planet. And I think that in there, there's a responsibility for us. You look at what humanity's been able to create and do with all that God has given to us. There's penicillin, there's medicines, there's all these amazing things that the creativity of humanity has been able to achieve through the resources that God has placed in our hands. I think sometimes we abuse that and we don't take care of it as well as we should. I go to India and Delhi. I love India and I love going to Delhi, but there's part of Delhi that I don't like, and that's every day you get a daily reading of the visibility for that day. So they tell you whether you'll be able to see 100 meters, 200 meters, 500 meters ahead of you. The pollution is so bad that I think that's humanity not using its resources as well as it could, because it's bringing its harm to itself and harm to the planet. But God's given us this great resource, and he's placed us at the pinnacle of his creation, that we're made. Genesis tells us that we're made in the image of God to rule and reign. That's where we are to be. But we've fallen from that. And I love this picture, just that looks at that, and I look at that and I think, man, this is what humanity is meant to be. I see it as harmonious. I see it as the humanity ruling over the birds of the sky and the fish and the resources that God has given it. I don't see it as a domineering, controlling, just getting what it wants out of it and abusing it. I see it as there's such harmony there and such a beautiful thing taking place. And that's what humanity was created for, to be in this perfect place. And it's just such a high view of human beings and who we are to be. So you read that and you think, man, that's good for human beings. We're just a little bit below God. There's all these wonderful things for us. But then as you read the rest, some of these other psalms, you see that is David's got a different lived experience. The way he was treated by other human beings, some of the other things that humanity has done to each other is horrendous. And we're taking up a collection this week for refugees in Poland, because humanity has this great capacity to do good, but it also has this great capacity to do evil. And so let's have a look at Psalms 12. I'll get Sondra to read it again. Psalms 12 verse 1. But then you've got this flip side. That David's lived experience, he's got this revelation. There's this picture here in the psalmist, the picture of the wonderful vision of what humanity is. But then through these other psalms, you also get the picture, this lived reality of what David went through. You know, anyway, I'll get you to read first.
Okay, Psalms chapter 12. Help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to their neighbour, they flatter with their lips, but harbour deception in their hearts. May the Lord silence all flattering lips and every boastful tongue. Those who say, by our tongue we will prevail. Our own lips will defend us, who is Lord over us. Because the poor are plundered and the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined seven times. You, Lord, will keep the needy safe and will protect us forever from the wicked, who freely strut about when what is vile is honoured by the human race.
So you see there that there's this experience that the psalmist is talking about. They've experienced something else other than that other picture of what humanity is, that harmony, this sense of being made in the image of God. But their lived experience, and maybe your lived experience, is that you've gone through, that people have said things about you. That David, or the psalmist here, is saying, well, there's no one loyal. Who can I trust? People say nice things to me with their words, but really their actions, and there's stuff in their heart that's not reflecting really what they say on the outside. There's this deception, there's this covering up. There's really, David, face these things. You look at his relationship with Saul. King Saul is the king at the time. David comes in and he's told to come and play the harp and I'll look after you. But all those things are said about him. But Saul many times tried to kill him. He's there playing the harp and Saul gets a fit of rage, of jealousy, because he's jealous about what other people are saying about David and he wants to run a spear through him. That'd be traumatic for anybody. I don't know if you've had anyone try to run a spear through you, that your boss or someone in authority tried to knock you off at work or something like that. Doubt that would happen, but the other stuff happens. People use words, they criticize, they try and undermine your position in an organization or a company, or those sorts of things take place. So we know that and experience the reality of what humanity has degenerated to in some ways. The whole thing in Ukraine is the same. As there's, I find it absolutely flabbergasting that they could actually be sitting down trying to have peace talks while their bombs are going off. Like, you just think your words and talking about peace is not lining up with your actions. So I think this isn't headed for much success here. If you could put the weapons down and actually talk about peace, resolve, then I think you've got a little bit of a chance of moving forward. But King David had his own very own son, Absalom, try and rip the kingdom from him and kill his own father. So when the psalmist talks about these things, he understands what it is to have people say nice things about him but not actually mean them. But there's a promise in these scriptures, and maybe you feel like that's your lived experience at this point in time. Well, let me tell you, as you read, or as I've read through all these psalms this week, that there's help for the helpless, those who are needy are looked after by the Lord, the fatherless are taken care of, the oppressed, they'll have time and find be face to face with the Lord. But that is a description of the wicked. But I think, though, let's go on a personal level. I think, for many of us, sometimes we could identify with that list of things that the wicked do, if we're really honest. Oh yeah, sometimes I do. I do say flattering words with my mouth, but I actually have other things in my heart. Well, any of you on Facebook, I'm sure you've done it, because you've just, all you've ever put on Facebook is all your good photos of all everything that's going really well and wonderful in your life. You never show us when you're in, the kids have made a mess and the house is all chaotic. Anyone only on Facebook or Instagram, we only show the good things. We don't show all the other stuff of life, and I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not even advising you to do it. But, you know, but it's easy for us to give this perception and put on, well, I'm this, but inside there's actually something else going on. And sometimes we can actually even be lined up with, maybe you find the word wicked a bit hard, and it's a hard word, but the ungodly, or there's some things there, they go, oh, hang on a minute, that's not fully pure, and that's not living up to the ideal of humanity that Jesus Christ has called us to. And I know I fall short. There's times I think, man, I shouldn't have said that, or I'm saying something, but I don't really mean that. There's a story in Luke chapter 18 of a Pharisee. He goes to pray, and he gets up to pray, and Jesus said that he said this prayer to the righteous people who thought they were all good and looked after themselves well. He told this story. It says, two men went into the temple to pray, and one of the Pharisees, one was a Pharisee, another was a tax collector. The Pharisee gets up and prays, and he says, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like that tax collector over there. He's praying this publicly. So I do, like, there's this sense of, well, I thank you that I'm not like all of that. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I've got. Awesome. So he's putting up his credentials to the Lord. But the tax clerk at the back stands at a distance, beats his chest, doesn't even look up to heaven, says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. But it's just so easy for us to become religious and put on a facade, but it's not a real reflection of what's going on the inside. Well, we can... So I think maybe we do, at various points in our life or at various parts in our life, we identify more with the wicked than we do with that ideal picture of humanity. But there's good news, so I'm not trying to depress you. There is really good news. And the good news is, if we jump back to Psalm chapter 8, that all of that picture of the humanity and the goodness of humanity and what the ideal human being, all of that psalm, the New Testament's writers pick up and say they identified that man as Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2, verse 6 to 11 quotes that passage. And I might just read verse 9, but it's quoting that bit of Psalms. And then it says, but we do see Jesus. So it's saying, was Jesus, everything's been put under the feet of Jesus, and he was made a little bit lower than a man for a little while. But he says, we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everybody. And then it goes on, and just talking about him being a pioneer of our faith and including us. And then verse 11 says, but both the one who makes man holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. So the New Testament writers are saying that passage, there's hope for us. Actually, it's referring to Jesus Christ. It's referring what we would have been in Genesis, but he's saying Jesus Christ is actually the one who has everything under his feet. That's good news, because I don't measure up to that. But because of what Jesus Christ has done and he tasted death, now I'm included into him. And then when I fall short and I actually identify more with the wicked than I do with the righteous through the Psalms, there's good news for me. That because of the work of Jesus Christ, he restores humanity back to that rightful place of where it should be in harmony with God. It restores us back to that place of authority, that place of belonging to him, that place where in the Garden of Eden that there was no barrier between God and man. And he restores that for us through him, through his life and his death and him coming as a human being and dying on the cross for us. Ephesians 2, verse 6 and 11, 6 to 11, famous passage. This is referring to Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, and taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found as appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth. That was basically saying, well, everything's under his feet, and every tongue will know that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So there's good news for you and me. That when we know we're short, when we come up short, when we don't live at the level of the being in the image of God, that we think, yeah, that's where I need to be or could be, that Jesus Christ is there saying, it's not about you, it's actually about me, and you're in me, and I'm actually restoring you back to that place. Which is good news for me. Because as I've read this, I've looked at that and said, man, that's a high position for humanity. God, you have such a great place for humanity to be, but so often I fall short. But I'm thankful that actually you've made it possible for me to be back in that beautiful place of relationship with you. So maybe you've struggled. Maybe there are some things where relationships are out of order. There's words that are not spoken. There's some deception inside. There's good news that Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth And now everything is under his footstool. Everything is under his foot. That means all principalities, powers, authorities, sickness, harm, even the rulers of this world, all the politicians, everything that we think's out of our control, actually they're under the feet of Jesus Christ, which gives us great confidence to be able to say, yeah, I have great confidence to know, Jesus, you've got me, and I'm in that place. So that we can be like the psalmist at the end of today's reading, Psalm 13. So, but I trust in your unfailing love. My God, my heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for you, he has made me good. Sorry, he has made me good? Or sorry, he has been good to me. Sorry, he has been good to me. God has been so good to us, hasn't he? And maybe you struggle with that sense of the things that have gone on. You say, no, God, you've been good to me. Maybe you're struggling with sickness and things going on around. You say, oh, well, okay, I may not see the end of it now, but I know that when I get to heaven, because what Jesus Christ has done for me, that when that new earth comes, that new heaven comes, oh, it's going to be good. And his goodness and his kindness and his favor will be towards us. So I want to encourage you. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. As you're going through the Psalms, look for Jesus in the Psalms. Look for him and the references that refer to him and where he quotes himself. Say, yeah, Jesus, I need you. You've got me. I was just struck by it for me this week. How this high picture of what humanity was meant to be, but how low it's degenerated to, and even how low I go sometimes, but that actually through Christ, he has lifted me up and taken me out of that place, which is such a good thing. And that's for each and every one of us. Sorry. My dad's ringing me. I should have. I thought I put it on Do Not Disturb. I did, but he's one of the numbers that actually is allowed to ring when I've got it on Do Not Disturb. So I need to find a better way. I need to have a church one, that a church focus that says nobody calls. Yeah. Perfect timing for my dad, isn't it? Well, let's pray. Tara, could we sing, I Want to Speak the Name of Jesus? And I think for some of us today, we need to speak that name of Jesus into our situations and circumstances. And if you're needing to do that, I just really encourage you and just to say, Jesus, I'm going to speak your name. I'm going to declare that you came from heaven and earth. You got a victory for me. You won a battle for me so that I could be restored back into relationship with you. But that restoration and being inside of you means that every authority, every problem, every difficulty, every struggle that I go through, every weakness that I have actually has to submit itself to Jesus Christ. That's what Ephesians says. Ephesians says that everything, every name will bow itself. It will bow its knee to the name of Jesus Christ. So whatever you're facing, say, Jesus, I need your help because I want to be that person that you've created me to be. I don't want to lower myself to a lower standard. I want to rise to that higher standard. I don't want to be living in that old life where there's things that dominate and control. I'm going to let it go and put it down at the feet of Jesus. So as we sing this song, you can stand, you can sit, whatever you like, but I would really encourage you, just let it minister to you. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. So we've looked through the Psalms. We've talked about how the Holy Spirit inspired the Psalms and Jesus prayed them for himself. But there would be some Psalms that you've read that you say, yeah, that's me. That's my enemy. That's my thing. And I'm going to take hold of it and pray it until I'm satisfied, until Jesus Christ blesses me and gives me the answer that I need. Tara, let's lead us in a song.